Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am good. Welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Wellness Cheerleader. I am so happy to have Miss Cheryl Carroll with me today. And she's going to talk to us about our hormones, holistic ways to keep them going, that midlife area, that menopause area, and perimenopause. But Cheryl, first, if you don't mind, let us know. Basically, give us a little background. Tell us what you do, what led you to do what you do, all that good stuff.
So, I wasn't always in holistic health. I started off my career in auditing. So, I'm a chartered accountant and spent many years in banks doing their internal auditing. And I always knew that this wasn't really my passion area. And then, I did a few things, was always interested in it. And I had a very unfortunate, I guess, events in my life that had really that was really the catalyst for me diving deep into the holistic health space. And that was when one of my best friends, who we both share this real passion for nutrition and exercise and everything, and she was diagnosed with bowel cancer when I was 6 months pregnant with my daughter. And so I was with her while she fought, and it was a very short fight. So she passed away when my daughter was then 6 weeks old. So this was really, it really shook me that I thought we understood health, and then something like this happened to her. And it made me start questioning, do I really understand what health is? So that, yeah, so then that sent me on a bit of a path of discovery and learning more. So I first of all started off doing a personal training qualification when I was on maternity leave with my daughter. And then when I was on maternity leave with my son, that was when I did some nutrition training, but it was the Institute of Integrative Nutrition Health Coaching Certification, which is really broad and brings in the concept of holistic health. And through that, I started following a doctor, Stephen Cabral, who launched a certification which brings together functional medicine, Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine. And that's when I really went deep on the foundational pillars of health. And then being able to do functional medicine lab testing to really get under the hood of what's going on for people. And so I was doing this part-time whilst still in banking. And then I got to a point where I knew this was my path. And so I left the bank and I've now been doing this full time. And through my experience of coaching women and my own personal experience of an early taste of perimenopause symptoms, I have really niched into this space, and I'm incredibly passionate about educating women and empowering them to make changes that make them excited about this next phase rather than fearing it.
And it is kind of scary, especially if you don't have the insight and the knowledge. You just know that your body's going through some things, you know. A lot of times, people glean on other people's information or relatives or family, but then sometimes because it's such a hush-hush type of situation, people are uncomfortable talking about it, to let you know what these changes are, because it really gets I think it's basically different people's bodies go about it different ways. So,
Absolutely, yes.
that's one of the main things. It's like there's no cookie cutter to say this is what's going to happen when this time comes. The only thing you hear is about the hot flashes and the sweats,
Exactly.
and the mood swings and all of that. So that's why I was like, okay, we've got to talk to Cheryl and we've got to talk to Cheryl and find out what, just give us your insight. What have you learned? What will be helpful to the listeners as far as how to manage those state, those stages, because it's stages. I've heard of
Exactly.
peri, then the actual, full-blown menopause, and then there's a post,
Yeah.
So I'm listening. I'm gonna be quiet. I'm listening.
just dive in with any questions you have.
All right.
And I guess, so my first, the first thing that I would love women to do before we even go into all of this is to reframe menopause, the transition, et cetera, as an opportunity. So it's a real opportunity for setting ourselves up for the second half of life. Like, we have a long life after menopause happens.
Yeah.
You know, the average age of menopause, which is just the definition of when we have not had a period for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the average age of that is 51. So none of us want to end our lives at the age of 51. You know, we've got a really large chunk of time afterwards, and it's doing the work in perimenopause, which mm-hmm. sets us up for having an amazing second half of life. So it's a real opportunity, even though it can feel like our bodies are failing us.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have all of these subconscious beliefs of what menopause is, you know, and I'll be 100% honest, is that when I first realized that I was in perimenopause, I was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm not old. Like, why is this happening to me? Like, does this mean that I'm not going to have a sex life anymore? Like, I felt, you know, I'm on the shelf, all of these sorts of really negative associations with this phase. And it's only been through my education that those have, you know, those are the furthest things. So I know other women have it as mm-hmm. well. So it's about really just starting to check yourself when you have negative thoughts around this transition that we're all going to go through. So that's number one.
Okay. Go ahead. Because I was going to ask you, what are some ways that people can cope when they're headed to that stage? We'll go in like three sections. So I'll say the road to with Perry, yep. and then the actual, and then the post. You know, just give some insight as far as you know, I guess your experience behind it, what you've learned behind it that can make it better for people with the transition, ways to embrace the transition, you know, in those stages, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to talk about the different phases. So everything before we hit menopause, which is that definition of not having a period for a year, mm-hmm. is perimenopause. Mm-hmm. And within perimenopause, there are different phases. As our hormones go on this transition mm-hmm. to, and so the actual process of menopause is our ovaries no longer being our primary sex hormone producing gland and handing the responsibility over to the adrenal gland. So that's really what's happening here. So it's this process of our body recalibrating to have this happen. Mm-hmm. So if you think about puberty, when we first get our period, it's a bit of a roller coaster as our hormones settle in
mm-hmm.
to, and it takes about 5 years for, you know, an adolescent's hormones to settle in mm-hmm. once they first get their period. So perimenopause is actually seen as the second puberty. So it's almost like taking what you experienced then and then, you know, putting it into our 40-year-old bodies where our hormones are going to go on this little bit of a roller coaster ride because the first hormone that starts to decline is progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen as early as the age of 35. Mm-hmm. So the transition can last from 35 to 51 or, you know, 40 to 60. Some people go into menopause at 60. So it can be quite a large chunk of time. And so progesterone, you know, for people that aren't that familiar with the sex hormones, progesterone is created after ovulation. And it's a lovely calming hormone that we need to be in balance with estrogen in the second half of our cycle. Mm-hmm. And when we don't have that progesterone, which is further reduced through stress on our bodies, then we can feel these crazy PMS symptoms. Our periods can be heavier. It can impact our sleep.
Or they can get missing. Or they can get sometimes stress. And I will say this, you know, just preaching to the choir, just a little transparent moment. I was one of those people, like I said, I've been an accountant for almost 30 years. And so this is my second half, as well as you, going on to like the wellness side versus the wealth side and trying to combine, you know, just do like a combination of the two. But I remember the stress levels that were so astronomical until, you know, you get to know your body, mine would not come. If I was really stressed out, it would not come. So I started like trying to keep up with it with like a little calendar. Yes. Because it was like clockwork normally. So when I started to keep up with it and realize, you know, you have to be mindful, realize what was going on in my life when it was late or what made it delayed, I could always kind of, you know, back it up and equate it to stress. It was like a very stressful time. So, you know, in combination of what you're saying, it's definitely stress has a lot to do with a lot of the functions of our bodies. And definitely, you know, I could definitely understand why there would be a decline with the levels of stress. I understand that.
Because if you think about it from, you know, from a like a physiological perspective, if your body is under a huge amount of stress, you know, think back, that would have happened back in the day when there was no food or we were running from a tiger or, you know, we were physically in danger. Mm-hmm. Like the stress response is still the same. So when our bodies are under stress, you're not going to be, you know, wanting to have a baby when you're running from a tiger. So your body then, you know, it sends the blood supply and, you know, energy away from these things like reproduction. And that's why it starts to disrupt our hormones. Mm-hmm. So going back to that first kind of phase of perimenopause, so that's the progesterone starts to decline. And so people can feel subtle changes in that first phase. So slightly more anxiety because progesterone helps with the anxiety, depression, their cycle may shorten ever so slightly, like 1 or 2 days, mm-hmm. Heavier periods, more painful periods, sore breasts, all of these sorts of things, which shows that there's an imbalance of progesterone to estrogen. Then moving on to phase two of perimenopause, this is when there's this fight between the brain and the ovaries where the brain's trying to get the ovaries to just keep on being consistent in producing the sex hormones. Mm-hmm. But the ovaries are like, sister, I'm out of here. So there's this like war. So sometimes the ovaries will overproduce estrogen and sometimes they'll produce little estrogen. Mm-hmm. So this is when cycles can start to become more irregular. You may miss a cycle and then it comes back again. You can start to get more of these symptoms, maybe a few hot flashes when the estrogen dips low, night sweats, those sorts of things. And then the final phase is in the waiting room. You know, you're waiting for to have, you know, to tick the box that you haven't had a period for a year. And this is when the hormones, both progesterone and estrogen, are flatlining. And this is when you get to menopause and, you know, a few years after menopause, generally people's symptoms quieten down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when things return or establish a new normal. Right. So it's really perimenopause. That's the turbulent time. And that's when we've got this opportunity for change. Just to kind of close the circle on the symptoms, because I think to your point, people think about menopause and they think about the hot flashes and the night sweats. Mm-hmm. And actually we've got hormone receptors all over our body and our hormones do so much more for us than just enable us to procreate. It's, you know, there's brain function, there is muscular strength, there's bone strength. So, you know, people can feel, you know, I mentioned anxiety, depression, there's the brain fog. We become more, the brain fog, like you walk into the room and you're like, why am I here? Yeah. So it's a real thing.
What was I about to say?
So it's really, and I think that's, you know, people get these crazy dizzy spells. That they don't actually realize are to do with menopause. You can get things like burning mouth syndrome, where your mouth just feels like it's on fire. You know, there's a lot of autoimmune conditions actually start to rear their head in perimenopause because there is a change in our immune system. Mm-hmm. Through the hormonal shifts, we become more inflammatory. So there's more joint pain. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, it sounds like I'm painting this terrible, terrible picture because these are all things that can happen. Mm-hmm. If we don't adjust our lifestyle for the impact that our hormones are having on our changing bodies.
Right. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. What is, you know, when you mention that, let me piggyback just a little bit. With our holistic body boutique, we see a lot of people that come in to try to reduce fat, because it's targeted fat reduction. And the main thing in my understanding and what I've been learning, and definitely seeing different bodies and training people to, you know, notice those little things. There are sections in the stomach where when a person's hormones are off, it's almost like, you know, our mothers teach us to hold our stomach in, to sit up straight, you know, square your shoulders. And there comes a time during that stage when you're transitioning into it, where you're trying to hold it in and it's not letting you hold it in. It's not like, I'm serious. And you know, it's not letting you hold it in. I wish I would have brought my diagram, but I didn't. But long story short, there's certain areas of the stomach where you know that it's hormones, where it's a mommy belly, where it's stress, where it might be, you know, some type of, you know, alcohol, you know, issue or intake, you know, or sugar. There are different levels or different positions. Like when a person, sometimes people, especially people that are, you know, into holistic living, a lot of times they don't want to go to like the traditional doctors, you know, to kind of find out what's going on. And so, you know, you always try to kind of listen or learn different things, you know, from those who have gone before you and those things that are out now that's available, you know, like, you know, with deals or different ones. But there's a section of the stomach as well. It's like that top section right up under the breast. That section, for some reason, during that transitional time, it's more inflated, like you said, with the inflammation, but it's like it holds fat. It's really odd. Because if a person were to look, you know, it's like, oh, no, my hormones aren't off. There are a lot of things. I remember telling the girls when we were coming up, I said, listen, the hormones are like the baddest things in your body. They've got like this car, they drive, they are in control of so much. So if the point is to control it and not let it control you. You know, I think that is one of the biggest things that, you know, I would think a person would want to do. You want to control it. You don't want those outbursts and, you know, and rage. Some different people have different things, you know, as they're transitioning over the weight gain. Sometimes people that have never had acne will break out, you know, with some type of skin ailment, some type of rash. It's just really weird. But this is what I wanted to ask you. What is your opinion? And it's just opinion. What is your opinion on, I'm just going to throw out a hypothetical because I've heard it so many times. All right. So there are different situations and diseases that we ladies are apt to over the course of years that people get in their ovaries. And there's a whole long list, and I will not go into all of that. But for some reason, it's almost as if to say when a person is in that perimenopause stage, and they're, you know, progressing. Some people have heavy bleeding during that time, very heavy cycles. Well, you're thinking it's a cycle, but you don't know that your body's almost like, you know, just transitioning. You don't know this. What are your thoughts on why, for the most part, a person would be advised to have either a partial or a full hysterectomy to stop those types of elements with menopause, approaching menopause, versus giving a person a natural way to control that, or some type of, I would say, you know, mental clarity as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot. Yeah,
yes, because so it's not just me. I wanted to intake on that. You know, I don't like that. I do not like that. Because it's as if to say, you know, like I said, some people can't help it. Things happen, but you've made it to this stage and you're going through some changes. You know, why is it that the first advice you're given, if you're going through that stage and your body's just completely out of whack, why is that? That, you know, go just take it out. Why is that? What are your thoughts on that?
So if you think about, so traditional medicine is, so like doctors, they are symptom management, right? So they have a set of tools in their toolkit that they can turn to when certain things are presented to them. So, you know, you would come in and you are like excessively bleeding. Your iron is very, very low. They will have 1, 2, 3 options for you to go through from a traditional medicine standpoint. So that's what, so that's really what it is. It's the traditional medicine system is not cool? set up for preventative. Cool? It's not, yeah. it's not about preventative mm-hmm. health care. It's mm-hmm. about symptom management. Mm-hmm. And so when you're presented with this, when somebody is, you know, hemorrhaging all of this blood, they're like, well, you know, you could go on the pill for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You can try this pill, try that pill, try the Mirena, mm-hmm. or you could have a hysterectomy. These are the risks. They would obviously explain the risks. Mm-hmm. And then that person will decide. And if they're like, well, I don't want to have another baby. Like, I'm not having babies. Like, this is, I'm over. I don't need this part of my body. Mm-hmm. So they have then made the choice, I would assume. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that everything would always be a person's choice and there would be an explanation. But what they're not going to, because it's not within their remit, is explaining why it's happening. And working with them on the lifestyle pillars. So nutrition, movement, stress management, supplementation, hormone therapy, like how a bioidentical hormone therapy plan could support you to not have this situation. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, so, you know, what I do, which is all around holistic health, which is preventative health, health care. It's a different model. You know, I work with somebody and I will spend hours with them mm-hmm. unpacking what they are doing, what they're not doing, mm-hmm. you know, understanding what's like connecting the dots. Traditional right, doctors right. have, you know, 5 minutes with somebody. So it's just a very different model, but I agree with you. And I don't think that women are really, particularly where they have their ovaries removed as well. Like if they have a hysterectomy with their ovaries removed, mm-hmm. they are put straight into menopause. Mm-hmm. So they will have like these, like all of a sudden their hormones are taken away from them like that. Mm-hmm. So there's often so many symptoms and like very horrible experiences that women have when they have this medical menopause. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's the sad thing. Like there's, if that happens and women know that they're going to be losing all of their hormones overnight, mm-hmm. having a plan to help them, if there's no cancer risk and all of that,
right,
to reintroduce hormones so that they don't feel like they've just fallen off a cliff.
Right, right, right. That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. You made mention of the bioidenticals?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how do you
explain that? Yeah. So I think a lot of people have quite a lot of fear around the use of hormones because there was a study many years ago called the Women's Health Initiative, mm-hmm. and that was done on a population of women that was incorrect. It was actually women who were post-menopause. A lot of them were obese, and they used horse estrogen from horse mares. Mm-hmm. And that was used. So it was a synthetic estrogen that does not mimic our own estrogen in our body. So through this trial, women, there was an increased cancer risk for the users, even though, you know, they were given to postmenopausal women. So it was a very skewed review, mm-hmm. and one that really painted the use of hormone therapy in a very, very bad light and has made people very fearful, mm-hmm. even though, you know, fast forward to today and there have been massive developments in the space and hormones are now made using bioidentical hormones or body identical hormones are made using plants, obviously in the lab, but mm-hmm. they 100% mimic the way our hormones operate in our bodies. So the safety profile is so much better. You know, even some like topical internal estrogen, vaginal estrogen creams have been shown to be safe for people with, you know, increased breast cancer risk. So it's a different conversation these days. And I think it's about women finding a doctor who specializes in hormone therapy. I think that's key, mm-hmm. to understand what are the options for them. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you go to somebody who hasn't done any further training in hormone therapy, they're not going to be versed enough in this area to actually give them the right advice and give them the right information. You know, I've seen, I worked with a client who all of, you know, she was very low in progesterone and was having all of these symptoms whereby she had incredible breast pain, which is all of these estrogen excess symptoms. So I encouraged her to go find a doctor who specialized in hormone therapy and talk to them about going on progesterone. And, you know, I'd finished working with her. So she went off and did her thing. And I checked in with her a few months later and I said, how did that go? And the doctor put her on estrogen. He did not put her on progesterone, which was the hormone she was deficient in. He put her on estrogen, which just made all of her symptoms 10 times worse. So, which is why, you know, I think it's really like, if people have the capacity, like either work with somebody like me in a holistic space, so to hold their hand, to guide the conversations, or there's some amazing books out there, which just explain, there's one by, actually I've got it here, a book by Lara Bryden, which is called The Hormone Repair Manual. Like, she's brilliant. And, you know, she sets out like ways that you can enter into conversations with your doctor. You know, these are the questions to ask. So I think it's about women taking ownership for their journey, educating themselves enough to drive the conversations and to know when to wave goodbye to a doctor if they're not listening to them.
Right, right. That makes sense. Now, Perry, what about menopause?
So menopause is really just, you know, as I said, that definition of when you've no longer had a period. And then once you're through probably the first 2 or 3 years of menopause, things settle down into their new normal. So things aren't as crazy. So, you know, all of the lifestyle pillars that I coach women on in perimenopause are as relevant for menopause, you know, so what we need from a nutrition standpoint, from a movement standpoint, from managing our stress, like it's all very relevant. The only thing that really changes is that women need slightly more protein in menopause, because we don't have, particularly if somebody's not doing hormone therapy, we don't have the benefit of the estrogen and the testosterone to build muscle. So we really just need to focus on the protein. And then also the way we periodize our strength training is that our bodies are slightly more inflamed post-menopause. So we need to, you can work out for 2 weeks and then you want to have a week where it's a deload, kind of less intense exercise. Whereas in peri, it's 3 weeks on, 1 week off. So that's the slight change, but everything else in terms of the principles are really the same. And, you know, and I guess it's, you know, when I said earlier that it's perimenopause is a real opportunity for setting yourselves up for the second half of life. If you've done the work in perimenopause, menopause, you're going to be settling into a new baseline, which is at a higher level than somebody who hasn't really, you know, made any changes. Menopause is going to just be that little bit harder. Like, they may not be happy with their bodies. They may not have the energy levels that they want. You know, they may be more predisposed to some of these, you know, illnesses that, you know, come up for women, something like Alzheimer's, which I'm very passionate about. The levels of Alzheimer's in women are so much higher than in men later in life because of the hormonal shifts. So, you know,
that's another time when we have you back. So listen, what are some give some ideas or your insight for nutritions, for working out? I know you said 3 on and 1 off. And then when a person's actually menopause or post, you know, basically kind of break it up. Did you say 2 and 1 or?
Yeah, it's 2 weeks heavy and then 1 week kind of deload.
Okay.
So as a program. Yeah.
What would be your suggestions? Let's just say a person doesn't have a gym membership. What would be your suggestion? Yeah. You know, walking or weight training, what is the combination?
So general movement, like we just need to move more. So lots of, you know, walking to the shop rather than driving, taking the stairs, you know, dancing in the morning, all of these things where, you know, we're just getting like a mantra of move more, like just when you can, just move your body, because that low level intensity movement uses fat for fuel. So if we're wanting to tackle that belly fat, you know, you've got to do this sorts of movement. And then in terms of like actual physical exercise, so doing a session, what I like women to prioritize is strength training, resistance training. And what that looks like for one person is different to another, because if somebody's never done anything before, body weight is where they start, you know. But if somebody's been training for a very long time, it could just be about, you know, getting them to actually do more sessions where they are putting much heavier load on a bar to do a squat, for example. Because what we actually, because our bones weaken and we lose muscle mass, we need to create enough stimulus in our muscles to really build the strength around both, you know, muscle and bone. So, but starting that all off, I always encourage women to see a women's health physio, because we have pelvic floor changes, and it's astounding how many women, actually don't exercise because they have issues with incontinence, and, you know, they don't want to do things that they enjoy because they're worried about what's going to happen. So, you know, really just check your pelvic floor and pelvic area and make sure everything's intact and working properly, and then have a movement screening with a personal trainer who specializes in women, just to make sure you're doing everything right. And, you know, it may require that you do some movement pattern work initially to make sure that you're moving your body appropriately. And, you know, yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking like just old fashioned walking, when you said just moving, just at least it's move. Something
absolutely
walking around the park, walking around the mall, walking around your neighborhood, you know, if you feel safe to do that, just keep the body in motion. I definitely agree with that. I agree. What are some supplements that you might suggest to a person that wants to, you know, keep everything balanced?
Should we talk a little bit about the nutritional principles first? Because, you know, I think if we can get what we can from our food, that's an amazing starting point. And, you know, the advice that I give now, you know, I think it's about thinking about how you can do it within the context of, you know, the food that's available to you and your budget. So kind of just key principles to keep in mind is prioritizing protein. So if women can get 30 grams of good quality protein at each meal. So, you know, what that looks like for you may be different. You know, I know that, you know, eating organic meat is cost prohibitive for a lot of people. So, you know, you may want to then choose, you know, beans or some of the vegetarian options, because that's more accessible. So, you know, so think about how you can get that into your diet. Number two is diversity of plant foods. So trying to get lots of different types of, you know, fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, etc. into your diet, because that helps with phytonutrients and also for the gut health, which is very, very important for us. And then the third principle is not fearing good quality fat. So things like canola oil, sunflower oil are toxic oils, but if you add things like avocado or olive oil, coconut oil, these are all very healthy fats for us, which we need. So if you picture a plate, you want half of the plate to be, you know, above the ground, vegetables, you know, so lots of different colors.
Above the ground. I like that analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then a quarter of the plate would be protein, and then a quarter of the plate, good quality carbohydrates. So, you know, I always like the root vegetables. So things like sweet potato, parsnips, carrots, those sorts of things, which are more carbohydrate heavy. And then you put your fats over that, or add it to your plate. So if you're eating like that, and you know, hopefully you don't have too many nutritional gaps, but unfortunately we don't get, like, the quality of our soil is very poor because of the way farming is done. So, you know, I personally like a multivitamin and mineral from a supplementation perspective as a bit of an insurance policy. Omega-3 fatty acids, because people generally don't eat enough fatty fish. Magnesium is another one that we all generally deficient in. And the third one is something for the gut. So whether that's a prebiotic supplement or a good quality probiotic supplement, like that's kind of the baseline that I encourage people to work with. But there's so many others, like for women in perimenopause, where we so often under a lot of stress, adaptogens like ashwagandha are really, really helpful. Where progesterone is low, you can use something like Vitex, which is a herb that helps to boost the progesterone. So
Yes, exactly.
So lots of different things like that, which are more kind of based on the nuances of where somebody is potentially deficient.
It's wonderful. That is wonderful. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the latter. Big fan. Not now, but once upon a time.
Yeah. Oh, did you notice the difference?
Oh, yes. And especially with like the scenario that I mentioned earlier, if people would really get like the organic version of that, and there are some, you know, organic versions versus those that are really watered down, it's almost like a miracle. It is honestly like a miracle. Supplement, miracle peel. But anyway, so what are your closing thoughts? I've enjoyed this. I have enjoyed this.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate your time. What are your closing thoughts as far as, you know, the actual subject at hand with the hormones and how to regulate them? And we've talked about the nutrition. We've talked about, you know, like some little supplements. And it's funny because fish in general, is very, very helpful for a woman. It's funny, my mother and I joke sometimes about it. She says, you know, there's a certain time of month that like a woman, you know, kind of craves fish more so than like chocolate. And she said, I really believe that, you know, when we were made like somewhere by the fish in the ocean, because she said it was something about, and it's true. I remember like my younger years, I kind of crave, you get those PMS cravings. I would kind of crave chocolates, but then I had a choice to make. It's like, do I want this pimple on my face or do I want this chocolate bar? And I decided I didn't want the pimple on my face. So let's leave the chocolate alone. So then as time progressed, it's like, I'd have like, man, I'd like a fish sandwich. I'd like to get fish or salmon. I said, it was just really weird. And so, you know, again, with the changes of our bodies, a lot of times, you know, unless you have like, you know, tons of like besties that you just talk about these types of things, a lot of times you keep them to yourself. But it's like when you actually do discuss them, as we're discussing it now, this might be an uncomfortable conversation for some people, but I hope that it's helping people. I really do. But the funny part is when you discuss it, you find that we really have more things in common.
Oh, absolutely.
We have a lot of things in common, even down to like the cravings and the aggravations that come, you know, pre. So it's just amazing. So what would be your closing thoughts? Let's just say someone, you know, is listening. They're trying to, you know, grasp all of this. What would be your closing thoughts as far as, you know, holistically or naturally balancing the hormones?
So I think number one is just encouraging women, like as you said in the beginning, you started to track your cycle. So track your cycle, track your symptoms, really get back in touch with your body and what's going on for you. So that would be number one. And then second, educate yourself on what's going on. You know, so re-listen to this, you know, follow me on Instagram, follow, there's so many different amazing doctors and practitioners really talking about the subject. It seems like there's just been Pandora's box is opened. So there's a lot out there. So just educate yourself and take responsibility for your own health outcomes. Because even if you find a doctor who's amazing and who listens to you, you know your body, you know how you want to feel, and have a clear idea about what that looks like. Know where you want to go with your health. You know, you want what you want your energy to look like, how you want to show up in the second phase of your life, you know, second half of your life. Be very clear on that. And then you can really start to drive your own health outcomes. And then my third point is to really encourage women to start to prioritize themselves, because this phase is all about turning inward and doing the work so that we can shine.
Yes.
You know, we've, you know, the years before are all about outward energy. You know, even if you're not a mother, it's all about, you know, building your career, like all of this outward energy. And now it's about turning inward and figuring out what you want and what works for you and being clear on your boundaries, all of these sorts of things. So like the really the foundational pillar of that is prioritizing yourself.
And I am favorable in closing to add to your list of four. I'll add a fifth thing, just a matter of opinion. But there are some phenomenal female physicians there, you know, and I think when a lady is talking to a lady, you can relate. And, and a lot of times beyond like the textbook, when you have a female practitioner, female doctor, however, you know, people choose to get their advice, or a nutritionist, it's always good a lot of times to have someone who can relate to your situation. I'm not saying that men cannot. It's just certain points in life when you graduate to these different levels and these different changes. It's almost like you need that camaraderie or someone who understands the weird explanation that you may give for what you're dealing with. And so I think, you know, definitely kind of round it up. You know, if a person is seeking out a DO or a regular practitioner, holistic or, you know, Western medicine, however it goes, to just basically take the time to find someone who you feel is relatable, you know.
Definitely. Yeah.
That makes a big difference. That's it. I have really enjoyed you. I really have. We'll have to get you on again.
Thank you so much for having me. I'd love to chat.
All right. I will see you soon. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.